night. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. I thank you for blessing this church the way that you do, Father. I pray that you would continue to bless this wonderful fellowship, God, and finish the work that you've begun in them, Lord Jesus, in these last hours. We love you so much and thank you so much for your kindness. Minister your word to us tonight. Strengthen us, encourage us, build our faith tonight as we listen and feed upon the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay close to Jesus. I know sometimes when you have revival meetings, I'm not saying you do this, but sometimes we get excited during those meetings and then afterwards we seem to just kind of go back down. You know, we don't have to live that way. That's what depression drugs do. You know, you're depressed, you take some sort of drug and it brings you up and then it wears off and you go back down. We don't have to live that way anymore, amen? This exciting life is an everyday walk with us. We get to enjoy that, and I know you do. But I know sometimes the devil wants to come in and try to bring us down. We don't have to live that way. We're not slaves to him anymore, amen? We have a new identity in Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I hope that you know Jesus tonight as your Lord and your Savior. I hope that when you die and you stand before God, God looks down at your life and sees Jesus and doesn't see you. Because today your sins can be forgiven. Today that you can be free. Today you can be saved. And you can have your life completely transformed by the power of God in one moment. Never to be damned to hell. Never spend eternity apart from God. But to have this great eternal life that he has for all of those who call upon his name. That free gift is given to you tonight if you would just receive him and walk with him. Amen. Don't forget where you came from, church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn there with me. I want to brag on Jesus tonight. Amen. So I've titled this, Bragging on Jesus. I want to brag on him tonight because he's everything to me and he's everything to you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, would you read along with me verse 1? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he's talking to the church, the born-again believer, you he hath quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That word conversation means our lifestyle. So we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Brother talked this morning about the wrath of God being upon people's life. Everyone that is outside of Jesus has the wrath of God upon them. They've been marked. The wrath of God is upon them, and they're already condemned, all right? But Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost and not to condemn. He doesn't want to condemn. He wants to forgive, amen? And aren't you glad tonight you've been forgiven? Verse 4, but God, I told my wife, if I pass away before her or before Jesus comes to take me in the rapture, I want that written on my tombstone. But God, because you look at your life in the past, it's a wreck. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he has quickened us together with Christ Jesus. Aren't you excited about that tonight? Amen. By grace you've been saved. He's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, church. Right now, you and I are able to sit in heavenly places. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Here's why Jesus has saved you and he seated you in heavenly places. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, that means therefore the days after, you're born again now, that in the days to come or the ages to come, he, God Almighty, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. That's the born-again believer, through Christ Jesus. There's a world that looks at your life every day. There's a world around your life every day that God is ministering through your life to reach that lost world. He's taken an old life and he's quickening the spirit and he's making a brand new life. You in this church have been given a new identity in Christ Jesus. You once belonged to the kingdom of darkness. Now you belong to the kingdom of light. You lived in a life that was full of death. Now you live in a life that's full of life and hope. Amen. That's a wonderful life that we get to live. And everything is because of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary 2,000 years ago. He died so that you and I would not have to. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And he's showing forth his love and kindness through every one of you in Christ Jesus to a world around you every day. It's one thing for us to proclaim Christ, but when people get to see the blessings of God upon your life and get to see the great and mighty things that God is doing in your life and through your life, whether it be working miracles, whether it be meeting your financial needs, whether it be meeting your problems in your life, you're not going to the pubs no more, but you're seeking after God and God is bringing joy and peace and gentleness and excitement to your life, and people can see that in your life. And they're going to come and ask you about that hope that's in you. Amen. God wants to show forth his love and kindness to that lost world every single day that's around us. Chapter 20 of the book of Psalms, if you'd turn there with me. Psalms chapter 20. Let's look at verse 5 through 9. Read along with me. Psalm 20, verse 5 through 9. We, this is the children of God, if you're born again here tonight, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Amen. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Who does he save? The anointed. Who is that? That's the born-again child of God. He's not going to save, which means, and I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about just save you through the cares of this life. He's not going to save those that are not of the anointed. He's going to look after his children. He's going to save those who are his children. Those that aren't his children aren't going to be saved. They're not going to be saved in this life, and they're not going to be saved in the next life because they've rejected Jesus or they have not come to Jesus. And that's an awful place to be. But Lord, he says, know now that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven. God will hear you with his saving strength of his right hand. That's where Jesus is. Some trust in chariots, we don't. Some trust in horses, we don't. We, it says, but we will remember the name of our Lord and our God. There's going to come a time out there when you're going to be wanting to trust things, and God's going to give you remembrance to just trust me. You don't have to trust in our government. You don't have to trust in our army. You don't have to trust in our president. You don't have to trust in your governor. You don't have to trust in anything but the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is what we put our sights on. Amen. No matter what this presidential election comes about, just remember, we don't lean on the arm of man. We don't trust in horses. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in our president. But we trust in the living God. They are brought down and they are fallen, but we are risen. Amen. And we stand upright. Save, Lord. Hear. Let the Lord hear when we call. Amen. Psalm 37, if you turn there with me. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. I pray that you'd write these scriptures down. Study them in your own time. The Lord would encourage you and strengthen your faith. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 28. The steps of a good man, that good man is the born-again believer. So, if you're born again here tonight, your steps are ordered of the Lord. Because it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Aren't you glad sometimes when we fall that we're not utterly cast down? The Lord picks us back up and forgives us and keeps us in the way of righteousness. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand. I've been young and I am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous ever forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Church, that's good news tonight. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever your financial problems are, you may think you're not going to make it to the next day. Listen, God's seed will never beg for bread. Listen, he is ever merciful. Aren't you glad? He lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and he forsakes not his saints. Church, that's either true or it's not, and I believe tonight that he does not ever forsake us. Many of you can testify in this room that God has never forsaken you, not even just for one moment. He's never forsaken you. Listen, they are preserved forever. That word preserve means God puts a hedge of protection around his children. In other words, our sister Penny, God saved Penny, and the devil is constantly trying to get back into Penny's life. He seeks whom he can devour at all times. The Bible says he roams around to and fro, seeking whom he can devour like a roaring lion. But God has put a hedge of protection. The precious blood of Jesus has been put, every born-again believer, a hedge of protection. Do you know that not one thing can come to you and harm you apart from going through God? You don't belong to the devil no more. You've got a new identity. So when the devil tries to come to your life, look, God says, no way. You can't touch her. I've put a hedge of protection around her by the power of my spirit, by my precious blood. I've covered my children. God preserves his children. Isn't that good news tonight, church? So if you're born again here tonight, you have this hedge of protection around your life. And I'm so excited for that tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Just read a couple of more scriptures with me. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 31. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? Aren't you glad for that tonight, that God never faints? We faint, don't we? And our friendships and people that walk along with us, sometimes they faint. God never faints. God never grows weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. I need that tonight. Amen. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Amen. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Listen, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, I pray that we would always do that, church. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? That's good news tonight, church. We have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're with him tonight. I hope that you have this intimate walk with Jesus. Amen? Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, I'm going to read this to you. You can turn there, I'll just quote it. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear. Aren't you glad we don't have to fear absolutely nothing ever again? Amen? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, all right? And to fear God is a very wonderful thing. We are to fear God in a reverence fear, not a tormenting fear. And the devil tries to bring a tormenting fear to us. We do not have to fear, and we're not brought back again into the bondage of fear. But we, or ye, have received the spirit of adoption. Do you know that when you were born again, Jesus adopted you into his family? You've become the brother of Jesus. You've become the friend of Jesus. You have become a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Because it says, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're a child of God, verse 17, then you're an heir, a joint heir with God and with Christ Jesus. You know what that means? Everything that belongs to God now belongs to you. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Church, that's good news tonight. Amen. Everything that is in Christ, we get to enjoy. We become joint heirs. And I know y'all understand what joint heirs is. If someone in here owned a lot of things and your children are going to be your joint heirs, everything that belongs to Tyler Bessa belongs to all of those children. They own what he owns because they're joint heirs with the mom and with the dad. Amen? So when he goes on, they'll all get everything that belongs to you. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing to be joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? Y'all remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was preaching, and afterwards, he looked at the disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say a prophet, Elijah." And Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter, with full boldness, I love Peter, he stood up with full assurance and said, "You are the Son of the living God." And God looked at him and he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you." You see, the Spirit is who quickens our mind and our spirit to understand that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he said, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." That rock is Jesus. That's the testimony that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he said, "Upon this rock, this testimony of Jesus, the rock, I'm going to build my church." Amen. We are the church of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to build my church. And you know what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That is the best news that I could hear tonight. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. You're not going to lose in this world. You're going to win. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus, and we've become joint heirs to everything that God has for our life. Amen. Church, that is absolutely good news tonight. Then he goes on to say, "And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Those keys represent authority. Authority. In other words, if you were to come in those doors in the middle of the night, the only way you're going to get through them is with a key, right? Well, if you can imagine, the door is Jesus. The keys are Jesus. So God said to Peter, or Jesus said to Peter, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Those keys are authority that's been given to us. We now have that entrance into heaven that whatever we ask, God wants to give to his children. Amen. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God wants to supply all of your needs. Amen. And he's there for you all the time. So you've been given these keys to the kingdom of heaven, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. The Phillips here have offered to have me stay at their home. They said, "Look, there may be times when we leave. We're going to give you the keys to our home. You just make yourself at home. Go into the refrigerator. Get whatever you want, whatever food that you want. If you want to relax, want to use our office, just have your way and make yourself at home." Amen? They've given me the keys to their home. God has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Church, there's no greater thing that we could have than that. What are your needs tonight? What do you long for tonight? What are the desires of your heart? What are things that you've been praying for that you need God to really desperately work? Listen, God has your answer tonight, and Jesus is everything that we need. Amen? We don't have to rely on man's hand. We just rely on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen? Listen, Jesus said in John 16, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace." So he says to you tonight, "These things I have written unto you, that you should have peace." He said, "In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." I couldn't quote that scripture enough in my own life. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Church, be of good cheer. Let your faith be in Jesus and be of good cheer because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So the next time, maybe it's tomorrow, next week, or wherever you go, and you start facing things that are looking very troublesome in your life, keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he has every answer that you need, and he is your all in all for what you need. I'm thankful for Jesus tonight. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit. He is Almighty God. Amen? Amen. He is Almighty God, and he is your God if you're born again tonight. He's our Father. Some of you in this room maybe grew up without a father. Maybe you're in life now and you don't know where your father is, or you don't have a father. I can tell you, there's a God in heaven who wants to be your father tonight. And all of the comforts that a father could bring that you may have missed out on, he wants to meet all of those needs for you tonight. He wants to come into your life and be a father to you. In your most intimate moments, times when you're sorrowful, times when you're in pain, times when you want to lay in your bed and cry yourself to sleep and wish you had a dad there that, you could wrap your arms around, God wants to be that in your life. Today, he can be that in your life. Maybe you've lost your father. I lost my dad 10 years ago, and me and my dad were best friends. But you know what? My dad's going home to be with the Lord, and I don't have my daddy anymore. Father's Day comes around, and it's a sad day for me. You know? But I know what? I have a Father in heaven that wraps his arms around me all the time. I love to fish. Me and my daddy used to fish all the time. Me and my father get to go fishing all the time. He's always with me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. And he comforts me just like my earthly daddy did. Amen? He wants to be your father tonight if you just let him. He's our Savior. Aren't you glad for that tonight? He not only saved you the day that you were born again, he's our Savior every day. How many things that we face every day? Things that we don't even know that could be very dangerous to us. Cars going by us at, you know, certain speeds, and someone could be drunk, and God could be sheltering you or causing things to happen where danger doesn't come across your path. He's saving you, always saving you. He's our King tonight, amen. He is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. He's not just going to be your Savior. He wants to be King and Lord over your life. Therefore, you and I are no longer on that throne. God is on the throne. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father. And he's right there anytime you need him, all day, every day. His throne of grace is open. He says, come in to my throne of grace in your time of need, and you'll find rest and you'll find grace and mercy when you need it. Anytime, any day, wherever you are. Aren't you glad? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our shepherd tonight. He's our shepherd tonight, amen. He's a shepherd of your life. You know, a shepherd is one who leads and shepherds. If you know what a shepherd does with a flock of sheep, God's given you a pastor. He is your, what you would say, like an earthly shepherd. God has given that gift of the shepherd, the pastor, and he's put him here. And that shepherd is constantly pointing you towards Jesus. Amen. Constantly pointing you towards Jesus. Jesus is our great shepherd. You know, and the shepherds, when they flock the sheep around and the sheep are moving along, sometimes the sheep begin to wander off. The shepherd has a staff, and he'll take that staff, he'll grab that lamb around his neck and pull that lamb right back into the fold so that the lamb goes in the same way the shepherd's leading. That's what Jesus does by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life every day. Sometimes we begin to wander off. God grabs that staff, and he begins to pull us back into the fold and keep us in the right way of righteousness. Amen. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Amen. He's love. God is love. God has shed that love abroad in every heart that's born again here tonight. How many of you love to be loved? How many of you love that God loves you? You know, God not only loves you, he wants to love through you. He wants to extend his love through you and manifest his love through you everywhere that you go. God is love. Love your neighbor as yourself, church. Give everything. Be lowly and meek, and don't esteem yourself above people, but stay humble in the sight of God. Love people. Love your brothers, because I tell you, that world is looking for true love, and we house that true love. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The love of God lives in every born-again believer. God is love. He loves you, and he wants to love through you everywhere you go. He's joy, he's peace, and he's wisdom. How many of you need joy in your heart tonight? God's right there. Say, Lord, I want that joy to be in my heart. How many of you here tonight need peace in your life? Maybe there's turmoil. God is peace. Jesus is that peace in your life. Even in the midst of your storms, there can be peace in your heart. And I know you know that. There can be great peace in your heart to know that Jesus is never going to walk out on me. He's never going to forsake me. People may, but Jesus never will. He's our wisdom tonight, church. So when you're walking out in this world and you need wisdom, I talked about it this morning, just ask for that wisdom, and God wants to give it to you. Doesn't matter what you do. You know, I need wisdom to make it from here to the door down there. So the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You follow me around. I'm praying always. Because I'm going to tell you what, I didn't graduate from high school. I've got no diploma. I've been to no seminary. I've been to no Bible college. None of that. I was just a lost man saved by grace. Holy Ghost came into my life and began to teach me all about Jesus. And I love him today. I need wisdom, but I don't want worldly wisdom, because I can tell you the wisdom that comes from God is greater than this world could ever. I can tell you what, in Christ Jesus, I stand with full assurance and boldness to know that I'm not ignorant anymore. I'm not ignorant in Christ Jesus. I'm not. I used to call myself dumb and stupid and all these things. You know, my fleshful carnal man might be that. But I'm going to tell you what, I have got all wisdom in the sight of God because I contain the wisdom of God. And you, if you're born again here tonight, you house the wisdom of God. So don't let people, if people think that you're stupid or whatever they may, just let it go. I can tell you what, listen, God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I can tell you what, you can be the most unlearned, ignorant fisherman in this room. And when the power of God comes upon your life, people will listen to you preach, people will listen to you teach, and they'll look at your life and go, my, these men must have been with Jesus. Absolute brainiacs of Pharisaical people with the most theological brains possible looked at these men and said, those are unlearned and ignorant fishermen. But listen to the authority and power that's coming out of these men. They must have been with Jesus. I can tell you what, when people look at your life, no matter where you are, how smart you are, and I love smart people, I really do. I wish I was a little bit smarter, but I can tell you what, God has given me all the wisdom that I need. Amen. And he's given you all the wisdom. That's what we need, the wisdom of God for everything. Jesus is a forgiver. He's your forgiver. Do you know that every day that we find ourselves when we sin against God, God is quick to forgive you? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How many of you in this room sometimes find it hard forgiving other people? God's forgiven you, and he's given you grace to forgive other people. Now forgive them. Walk in that, church. And if you're having trouble, you know where to go. Jesus, I need you to make me forgive. Your word is a mirror to my life, and I'm not forgiven. Confess it to him. Tell him how weak you are, and he's right there to rescue. He's a forgiver tonight. Jesus is a reconciler. He is reconciliation. He has reconciled us unto God, and every day he's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Me and my wife were about to divorce as we were coming in to the latter part of our depressional, lost state of our life. My wife wanted to leave me. Beautiful Tammy. You mean she wanted to leave you? Yes. She hated my guts. I was a very mean man when I was lost. I was full of verbal abuse. I was on drugs for depression. I was on drugs for anger problems. I loved to fight. I loved to cause trouble. And I took a lot of things out on my beautiful little Tammy. And I feel so bad about it. I've apologized to her just about every other day for the last 17 years of my life. Because I was a foolish, lost man that didn't know what I was doing. I was wicked, and I was no good, and my wife wanted to leave me. I came into the church, a lost man with a list for God. And I said, God, if you'll meet all of these things on my list, I'll start going to church. Well, God began to deal with me, and he said, I want to answer all those things. One of those things was restore my marriage, and Lord, take away this anger, and Lord, take me off of these drugs, and you know, just make me a happy guy and fix my finances and my home and I'll start serving you. Just a big list for God. And God was so gracious. He said, come on in. Come on in and sit down here. Bring your list. Lay it out here before me. That's okay. I'm God and I can meet every need that you have. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you for meeting all the things on my list. Amen. But he leaned over in my ear as a lost man. He said, you know what? You left out one thing. I said, well, never heard God speak before until this day. I was a completely lost man. He said, you left one thing out. You. You left you off the list. You're the biggest problem on your list. You're lost. And you don't know me. You surrender today, and I'll meet all the needs that you have in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, I was born again that day. That was the greatest day of my life. Listen, my wife and I, his marriage was immediately restored. My finances were restored. I was in debt, nearly $60,000 in credit card debt. And in 12 years of my born-again life, God got me completely out of that credit card debt. Amen? Took me all out of that. Amen? God took away my depression immediately, took away the drugs immediately, took away my anger immediately. And I know that God sanctifies us in some things in our life. There was things that wasn't delivered immediately, but I'm free from it today. Amen. Maybe it took 2, 3, 5 years, but I'm going to tell you what, God reconciled my marriage, and he can do that for your life tonight, and he can do that with your life in him. He wants to reconcile your life back to Jesus. How many of you need boldness tonight? Jesus is boldness. Amen. How many of you know tonight that Jesus is the bread of life? Jesus is the living water. You know, I've noticed since I've been here, Wisconsin people love to eat. We're the same in Louisiana. We like to eat down in Louisiana. Amen. Seems like every 2 hours, my sister gets really hungry. And when she don't eat, she gets like a bear. Now, I didn't call her name. I could be talking about you, so don't laugh. But we need food, don't we? Our bodies get hungry. And this woman carries a water bottle around. I'm telling you, she drinks at least two to three gallons of water a day. If I could drink a third of what she drinks. How many of you know water is good for the body? How many of you know food is good? It feels good, doesn't it? Feels good to eat a good hamburger from Cops or what's it called? Cops, that's good stuff. Grease running all down your face. Had a bellyache till 1 this morning. But we love to eat. How many of you know our spiritual bodies need food? I can tell you, Jesus is the bread of life, and he's the living water. You know, this word is what he's given us. Jesus is the word. Look, I can tell you what, you want your spiritual man to grow. How many does that tonight? You know, we work out and exercise, drink protein drinks, and take pills to make our metabolism get up so we can have a physically fit body. You know, bodily exercise does profit some, but godly exercise is greater than that. And I can tell you what, this is the bread of life. This is the living water. And we need, as the children of God, to continually feast upon this word. That way our strength and our inner man will be very strong. Amen. I'm thankful for that. He's our provider tonight. Aren't you glad that he provides for all of your needs? He does it all the time. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. You know that when you were born, God knew your life all the way through to the end. He formed you in your mother's womb, and he knew the gifts and things that he put in your life. He knew whether you were going to come to him or reject him. Aren't you glad he's knowing all things? He's omnipotent God. He's everywhere at all times, and he's a sovereign God, and he's a good God, and he knows everything. What do we have that we need? God knows it all, and he has everything in his hands. If we would just come to him and seek him, he's right there wanting to give the things that we need. How many of you know tonight that Jesus is righteousness? And he causes us to go in the way of righteousness. Do you know that when we stand before God, we are going to be righteous people in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ? He took a wretched man like me and took an unrighteous man and made me righteous. We are the righteousness in Christ. He's clothed us in that righteousness. Amen? I'm thankful for that tonight. How many of you know tonight that he's the mighty deliverer? Aren't you glad it doesn't just say he is the deliverer, but he is a mighty deliverer? I'll tell you a little story. When I was a kid, I was a geek. Nerd. People picked on me every single day of my life. I was about as big around as a Q-tip, soaking wet. I probably weighed about 60 pounds most of my life, nearly up to high school. I think when I went to high school, I weighed 90 pounds. I was a little bitty, skinny guy. I couldn't play any sports. My daddy and when I grew up, we were at the firing range, shooting guns and hunting and fishing and camping and riding dirt bikes. That's what I did my whole life. No sports at all. Well, you kids understand when you're in school, sports are very important. You know, if you're not good at sports, you're going to get picked on for that. You know, they'll thump you in the head and all these things. So I couldn't play nothing. Couldn't play basketball. So when you dress out for PE, first thing they do, they're either playing kickball, volleyball, basketball, soccer, or softball out in the field. And Jeff Lee was horrible at all of it. I was the last guy to get picked. And most of the time, they forced me to go on someone's team because I was the last one to get picked. And then they would start cussing and murmuring because why'd you give us Jeff Lee? We don't want him. Go sit in the bleachers. Get away from us. Leave us alone. You're a nerd. You're a geek. You're this, you're that. Cursed me, all sorts of horrible names. So when you go through life for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, coming up in middle school, all the way up to the edge of high school, people constantly picking on you. So I went to a school, the two worst whoopings in my life came from girls. I got beat up by a girl. I mean, how humiliating is that in front of the whole school? My daddy taught me not to hit girls, so I just let them beat me down in front of everybody. And I mean, put a good whooping on me. The next year, a different girl put a whooping on me. And I was a very angry man. I said, you know what? I'm never going to get picked on again. Started working out. Started taking martial arts, boxing. I'm going to beat everybody down. Took a little bit of steroids for about 3 or 4 months trying to get big. It didn't help me none. Just made me that much meaner. And I just knew I'm never going to get beat up again. And I grew up into my maturity of a teenager, into my adulthood, a very mean man because of that. And I remember when I was in school one day, I'm walking down the hallway, and here comes some of them bullies. They used to yank my pants off of me in the locker room and leave me naked and go throw my clothes out in the garbage can, take all of my money. Well, these two guys that did that to me, they would once a week just come find me. And they want money, all right, because they wanted to go and sneak off to the store and get things. Well, I can tell you what, these guys did this to me a bunch of times. And one day, here they come, and I'm telling you, I was scared. You know, you're a kid. I mean, I'm trembling, thinking, oh, no, these guys are going to get me because I don't have no money. And when you don't have the money, I mean, they're up in your face. It was bad, guys. If you're a bully, don't bully. It's awful. It's awful. But I tell you what, there was a guy that stepped in. These guys come down here. And they're about to put a whooping on me because I don't have no money. And this guy came from nowhere and said, hey, you leave that boy alone. You don't mess with him. He's done nothing to you. Y'all get out of here. You touch him, I'm going to beat you down. And this old boy was really bad. I didn't even know who he was. You know what? That day, he was my mighty deliverer. I was so excited that guy, you know, those guys never bothered me again the whole rest of the year because that one guy. And I never saw him again. I still don't even know who it was today. I think it was an angel that did that for me. How many of you know you go through this life and the devil's constantly picking on you, bullying you every day, some kind of way, and Jesus just steps in as your mighty deliverer, and he delivers you from the hands of the enemy. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Aren't you glad tonight that he's your mighty deliverer tonight? Can you praise him tonight? I'm so thankful for Jesus. Being my mighty deliverer. He's merciful tonight to your life. He's gracious. He is man's greatest example. I can tell you what, if you're in ministry or you have ministry opportunities, and sometimes you may look at men or other men's ministries, don't do that. You know, the greatest example is Jesus Christ. You look at someone's life, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The greatest example is Jesus Christ. You want the greatest ministry? Look at his ministry. You want the greatest life of preaching the gospel out in the streets? Look at Jesus' life and long to be like Jesus. Amen? Because he is our greatest example. He's our strength tonight. He's our comforter tonight. He's our counselor tonight. Amen? If you need strength, call on the name of the Lord. You need comfort, call on the name of the Lord. Amen? You need counsel. You know, the world has full of counselors, and they mean well. A lot of counselors can't counsel themselves out of a wet paper bag. You know, a lot of times they're counseling people on marriages, and they're committing adultery in their own life. How are you going to counsel me? You can't even get your own life right. And counselors mean well. There's counselors in all sorts of areas, but I can tell you what, this is the greatest counsel that we can get. Jesus is the counselor, and he's your counselor. You need counsel in your life? I can tell you what, you come to Brother Terry, I can tell you this is the counsel he's going to give you. Amen? Because this is the counsel that we need. He's our refuge tonight, church. He's our healer and our great physician tonight. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I need this friend in my life. Sometimes friends will walk out on you in this world. Sometimes people will walk out of your life and hurt you and do things like that. But Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never stab you in the back. Jesus will never say ugly things to try to hurt you. Amen. Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I'm thankful for him tonight. He's your helper in everything that you need. The Bible says Jesus is your helper. He's there. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is our helper. He helps us in all of our troubles. He helps you to pray. He leads you. He guides you. He directs you into all of his truth. Amen. He's the helper. He's the comforter of our life. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, full of fire and authority to be a witness unto this world, unto Jesus in this world. I can tell you, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost tonight, and he wants to do that in your life. He is a God full of grace. Jesus is grace. Amen. He is the divine influence upon every man's heart to cause you to walk in the way of righteousness. He's the one that is to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'm glad and so thankful for the grace of God in my life. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. Whatever you do in your workplace, whatever abilities and talents and wisdom that you have, do you know that God has given that to you? To bring glory and honor to his name. Because the Bible says everything we do as unto the Lord. When you go into your workplace, it's just not a dragging job. I got to go do this. You're working as unto the Lord. Tyler, God gave you a brain to do what you do. He's given you very special abilities that God's given you that other men don't have. He's given you favor and ability in your work. Those men need you. And when they look at your life and they see the brains that God's given, you can give glory to God. God's given me grace. God's given me wisdom. God's given me all the abilities to do what I can do. He's judge. Do you know that Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead? How many of you know that tonight? Aren't you glad we're not going to be judged for our sin anymore? He paid the price at Calvary. Amen. We've been justified by faith, and I'm so thankful he's not going to judge me for my sin. He did it at Calvary. Amen. He did it at Calvary. Every man outside of Christ will be judged for their sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin leads to death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I'm thankful for that tonight. He is our Redeemer tonight. Amen. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He is the perfect and absolute sacrifice that was pleasing in the sight of God. The Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son, and Jesus was the one that gave us that. He's faithful and true. The Bible says he's a lamp unto our feet. Jesus is. That's the word, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I looked that up. That word lamp means literally a lamp, and that word light is like a flashlight. So if you were to turn a lamp on in the corner of the room, that lamp just lights up a small area. So if I were to carry a lamp, that lamp would light up my feet. You know, every day we walk in a dark world full of sin and full of troubles, and we're still in a carnal body where sin is always present. But Jesus, the Word of God, is a lamp unto my feet so that every day when I'm walking, I don't run into something that I shouldn't. Amen. You ever get up in the middle of the night and take your way to the bathroom when the lights are off and stump your toe on the edge of the counter or a dresser? It's very painful, isn't it? You go to squealing. And if anybody else is in the room, they think something's wrong with you. And you're turning the lights on, you're hurting. But I can tell you what, he's a lamp unto our feet, amen? He's a lamp unto our feet to keep us from tripping up in this life. And the Bible says he's a light unto our path. You know, Jesus is at the end of the road. Jesus is at the end of this race, and he lights up that way. He is that narrow way that leads to life. And I can tell you that Word of God is a light unto your path. Church, you couldn't stay close enough to the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Hear what your Father is telling you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. We must have this Word in our life every day. Meditate on the Word. Think on the Word of God. Bind it around your neck and the frontlets of your eyes. You could never stay in the Word enough. You're not trying to educate yourself. This is a living Word. And when we take this in, it goes down deep into the soul, and we become this life by the grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful that he's the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. The Bible says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one will ever get to the Father except through Jesus. I hope you're born again tonight. If you're not, Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is truth, and he is life. I can tell you what, he wants to be life in your life. He wants to give you life so that when the world looks at your life every day and they see such joy and peace and excitement, life is coming out of you. We ought to be the happiest people on this planet. We don't have to just jump around in here and get excited when we hear the word of God. I can go out that door. We're about to go eat supper when we leave here, and I'm excited to go eat supper. I can't wait to be around people. I'm praying every day, Lord, let this light so shine before men that they may see the good works that come out of this life, and they'll glorify you in heaven, because I want to see people saved. I can tell you what, you wake up every day desiring that God would use your life to save men. I can promise you, you're going to have doors open up that you ain't never seen before in your life. How many of you know that's true? Pray for it. A lot of times we wake up and we're miserable because we got to go face another day of work. I can tell you what, rejoice that God gave you work. Thank you, Jesus, that you have a job right now. Maybe it's tough. Ask God to give you grace to get you through it. Ask God to help you in that. But Lord, in the midst of this job, would you use me to be a light among the people around me? Not that I just walk around and profess to be a Christian, but there's an absolute life coming out of here by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Jesus promises us hundreds of precious promises the Bible has given us. He says, we've been given great and precious promises that by these we can be partakers of the divine nature of God. Amen. Precious promises that God's given us. He says in his word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You'll never beg for bread. I'll be with you all the way till the end. So you don't have to fear. Just trust in the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and he'll always be there for you. How many of you know that's true? Hey, I can tell you what, he's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. He's not going to change. He's not left you out to dry, and he's not going to ever. God's timing is everything. When the devil comes in and says, well, I feel like sometimes he's left me out to dry because I've asked for things and I hadn't gotten it. Wait upon the Lord. Be patient. Know this, that God is God. Everything he does is good, and he is always on time. Amen. He's never 1 second short. He's never one moment not on time. We sometimes are not on time people, but he is always on time. Amen. Always. I'll be with you to the end. You know, he makes this wonderful promise to us. I have gone to prepare a place for you. Aren't you glad? You know, we live in this world and it seems pretty nice. Every day we live in it seems to get worse and worse. I believe God's allowing us to see that this is not our home. How many of you sometimes say, well, I'm not really ready to die? I was talking to my dear sister the other day and I was asking her about the cancer that God delivered her from. And I was asking her how it felt when someone came and said, hey, you know, you've only got a few months or possibly you could die within the next 5 months from throat cancer. That would be an awful thing to have someone come say that. My friend Clay, they give him 2 months to live. And I was thinking about that. And I said, how does it feel? And she said, well, there was such a peace in me. She said, I'm not ready to go. I didn't want to leave my family. But then there's this peace that just came up within me. Amen. And how many of you know that, you know what, to go home, to die is gain. To die is gain for us. This is not our home. The Bible says we're just passing through here, pilgrims, just passing on through this world. We're here one day and gone the next. But the whole time we're here, you know what Jesus is constantly doing? Come to me. You're going to die in your sin without me. The wages of sin leads to death. But you know what? You don't have to stay the way that you are. I'm just using her as an example. You don't have to stay the way that you are. I can give you life. I can give you hope. I can give you peace tonight. I can take all that corruption out of your life and make you right. Just come and walk with me. And that's what we get to share to this world. He promises us that he's going to prepare a place for us. And where I'm going to be, there you shall also be. If that weren't not true, I wouldn't have told you so. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. You know, that's wonderful. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. Do you know that sometimes you hear prosperity type of preaching where people just kind of look at all the gifts and things of God. And then sometimes people say, well, you know, you can't be thinking about all those things. God wrote those things for us to enjoy. men have perverted it and have taken it to a level of selfishness and using God and twisting God. But you know what? God talks about mansions, doesn't he? And he talks about streets of gold, and he talks about gates of pearl, and he talks about crystal seas, and he talks about a new earth and a new city called the City of Jerusalem. It's a brand new city, 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles tall. I can't understand. And he calls it a city. That we see what a city is, it's going to be a literal city that we get to spend eternity in a world with absolutely no sin. Isn't that wonderful? Guys, that's something to rejoice in. We're going there soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen. You know the song. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And I can't wait for that day. He promises us eternal life, never to die again. I said he promises us eternal life, never to die again. This body will go into the ground, but we will live on and on. The Bible says those who have Christ have life, amen, and life eternal. If Christ lives in you, you will never die, amen. People are trying to find all kinds of drugs and things out there to try to make their bodies healthy and live on. I can tell you what, it's accounted a day that every man is going to die and face judgment. But those that are born again, forgiven, freed, washed in the blood of Jesus, will never die. Eternal life is promised to all of his children. Amen. No more tears. No more tears. Amen. No more sickness. You'll never battle sickness when we get home. No more pain. I can tell you what, these old bodies are falling apart. I go to bed with a backache, wake up with a backache, get a back massage, and it's still aching. I can tell you what, our bodies are falling apart. Amen. We go to the chiropractors, we this, we that. Our teeth are rotting out. Our hearing's going bad. We can't see. Our bodies are steadily dying and decaying. Why? Because of sin. But I can tell you what, one day we are going to be given a glorified body. And I'm going to tell you what, no more blindness, no more backaches, amen? No more bald heads, amen? No more fat hairdos or messed up bad hair days. We will be absolutely perfect. We will be like Jesus, amen? We'll see him as he is. I can tell you, it's going to be a glorious day. I can't wait for that day. Church, stand with me tonight. Brother, if you want to come play the piano, come stand with me. I want to rejoice tonight. There's a joy in knowing Jesus tonight. Amen. And do you know that we have the greatest honor as the children of God? Church, I want to leave you with this last exhortation because it's exciting to live for Jesus. Amen. Do you know that you have Christ, you have everything. And do you know that we get the joy and the absolute honor and privilege to walk out of this house into that world tomorrow morning or this afternoon and be this life to a dying world? We get the privilege to preach about this wonderful Savior. Church, walk as close to him as you ever have in your life. The Bible says eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And to know him is an absolute intimate relationship with Almighty God. Intimacy, not a head knowledge. So when we begin to walk with Jesus every day and he gives us his word and all the precious promises, we're reading just some of the things tonight. I just barely scratched the surface of how wonderful God is and the benefits that he's given us in Christ Jesus. And do you know that when you walk and this life becomes your life, I can tell you what, everywhere you go, you don't need notes. You don't need notes to tell people about your Savior because you walk with him. You know him. You know his life to you. You know hope to you. He's my wisdom. He's my peace. He's my joy. And when we're in our flesh and we're not trusting him for peace and we're not trusting him for joy and we're not trusting him for hope, he's still joy and he's still peace and he's still hope. Just come close to Jesus. The Bible says, come unto me, all you who are laborious and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Close your eyes with me tonight. Sing this if you know it. Brother, sing this if you know it. Just close your eyes and begin to sing this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonders.
in the light of his glory and grace.
Sing it again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the